Andy Griffith. Yeah. I'm a nerd. It's okay. It's all right. I've embraced my geekiness. So anyway, living on the edge, watching Andy Griffith Show, baby. All right. Amen. We appreciate everybody here. We really do. And, you know, we definitely pray for the church on Wednesday nights. It's a good opportunity to sow. Amen. You know what? Love sows. Love gives. And happy to sow. And tonight I want to talk about, extend from last week, about what is love. And we're definitely not going to get through it all, but I think it's very important to talk about love, you know, and how we view people. It is something that, as far as the love walk is concerned, I remember years ago that one of my friends, when I was younger, we moved like 10 times. Like by the time that I was in kindergarten until like when I graduated. So we moved quite a bit. Well, anyway, one of the times that we moved when I was in junior high, I had gone to a Christian school for a few months, and I decided, you know what, I want to play baseball. And the school that I only went to for a few months only had basketball. I'm like, I'm not a basketball guy. I'm only like 6 foot. So I don't have the height, or I just didn't have it going on. But my main sport was baseball. So I went back to public school, and there, the place that we had moved, we had been there for a while, and one of my neighbors behind us, he was my age, and he and I graduated together, but I was about seventh grade, and I met this guy, and we, you know, we're going to public school together. Actually, there was like three of us that were like within just a block of each other. Actually, back then, there was a lot of us kids on this block, but there's three of us, and one of them, when I met, he lived right behind me. His mother had burned his father up in a fire. So he had two brothers, and one night she woke him and his two brothers up, and he was in third grade. So can you imagine third grade, you're outside and your dad's inside, and your mom burns your dad up. And then she went to prison, of course, and then she died of cancer by the time he was in seventh grade. So when I met him, his mother died a few months later. But, and, you know, it's kind of interesting when you're around people that have had a lot of trauma. Now, of course, you know, nobody's family's perfect, right? My family's had issues. Everybody's, you know, we all have issues. I like to say this. If there's somebody in your family, there's always that one person in your family, you know, that everybody's like, okay, they're just something not right. If you don't know who that person is, might be you, okay? I'm just saying there's that one person in your family, and if you don't have a clue, then it's probably you, right? anyway, we'll move on. But the point is that this guy had traumatic things happen to him when he was younger. And so that point in my life really started me to think about people. And, you know, I mean, there were some things that were gone in my family. But the point is that, you know, and I don't feel like I was really over-the-top personality when I was younger. So I pretty much got along with most everybody. So those are really these people. But this person was a real challenge, you know. I could tell there were things, obviously things in his life he was dealing with, but that was my first opportunity to begin to see people beyond because other people come to me and say, why are you hanging out with him? Why are you? And sometimes there were, you could tell he was dealing with a lot of things, but even at an early age, I began to see things that, you know what? Sometimes people are damaged goods. And sometimes we just need to love people even though they rub us the wrong way. And there were times where I'd go to his house. He lived with his grandmother. Now, his brother was in prison. His other brother sold drugs. So this was kind of a lose-lose situation, right? I mean, he's kind of behind the eight ball, per se. Nothing's really going right in his life. And here I am. And there will be times where just, you know, there's these people that you're, it's, you just feel as if you're just trying to get along with them. And there'll be times where, you know, we'd have good times. We'd have fun together sometimes. But it was really a labor of love that in relationships. And so my relationship often was not always a, hey, we're going to have a great time. But I knew what was going on in his life. And I knew that he was lonely. He had all of these things he was dealing with and from people around. And that's where the love walk really came in. I've never been perfect at the love walk. I don't know anybody that has other than Jesus. But it was my first time to really examine myself and say, okay, is this person going to be an assignment? And you know what? Sometimes people in our lives, they're just going to be assignments. They're just going to. And you know what I found too? People always want to say things about, well, God's testing me. No, he doesn't test us for sickness and disease because the Bible already tells us we're delivered from those things. But you know what he is going to test us with? He's going to test us with people that are going to come along our way that aren't going to think or talk or act like we do. Right? He's going to test you by asking you to do things sometimes you don't feel like doing. Right? He's asked me to give people money in the past. I don't want to give this person money. I don't. They rub me the wrong way. I'll get up and pray for people. I'm like, mm-mm. I don't want to do that, right? That's a test because you have to put your flesh down. That's all love walk is. It's all about cramming yourself down. How many of you have kids, right? And they are a love walk test sometimes, aren't they? Okay? Kids are, right? And that's okay because they're developing. They don't know any better. They're trying to figure things out, right? And that's okay. But you're going to have issues. You're going to have people in your life that are going to push the love test all the time. And so the problem is we think a love test is a feeling, right? Now I'm going to admit I have a lust problem when I see a Trans Am go by. Or a Corvette, or like an old 55 Chevy. I start cat talking like construction workers do. Okay, I was a construction worker. I was around him, all right? I'm just saying when a car like that goes by, I'm like, I love you. Oh, baby, come back to me. Red paint job and all, I love you, right? I get feelings when I see that kind of stuff. And that's what people define love as, feelings, right? So when it's really dangerous when I go to like the Good Guys car show because I'm just, I love you. Come home to me. You need to be in my garage. I have all these feelings of the Good Guy car show all the time, right? It's like, I love you. And so anyway, but the guitars, right, all these other things, I just, you know. So I'll see a sweet car roll by, and like, I forget my name. I'm like, I don't know. But we think of feelings, right? We think that when we see things or everything, love is all feelings, and that's not at all what the Bible says at all. Now, feelings can come, right? And, you know, it's like having kids. I mean, we see that, we got the babies here and everything. It's like, oh, when they first come, like, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then all of a sudden, you know, the poopy diaper comes like, whoa, baby, here you go, mommy's turn, right? So, you know, that we can have feelings throughout. When we do, let's turn to Matthew 24 while you're turning there, but feelings are not necessarily love, are they? Because we see people, well, I fell out of love, I fell into love, we just fell in love, we did this, we did that. Now, especially if you should have some feelings for people, but love is a decision. See, the world's love, their definition of love is all about what you're going to do for me. There's always strings attached. There's always strings attached. Now, as far as a marriage relationship, yes, there should be, you should be giving and you should, from both sides. I'm not saying that there isn't, but true love makes a decision lives by a decision, not always feelings. And I want to read this here, Matthew 24, 3 through 14. It says later, New Living Translation, people get on my case. I love these and thous and everything else too. So there we go. I am reading I have refrained from the King James Version tonight, okay? Just to, all right, make things a little bit easier for us. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, it says, later Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, and his disciples came in privately and said, tell us what will happen, all that will happen. What sign will signal your return at the end of the world? Now, that's a pretty good question, isn't it? And back then, the disciples and the apostles were thinking that, especially when Christ died and went to heaven, they thought Jesus was coming back like next week. I mean, they were thinking, okay, he's going to pop up there, grab a snack, and then he's coming back down, and then boom, we're out of here, right? I mean, they literally thought this is going to happen anytime. That's why they evangelized the whole Eurasia in 3 years. Because they're like, uh-oh, this is going to happen any day now. And they went crazy, which is a great thing. And we need some of that fire, don't we? We need a lot of that fire. Verse 4, and it says, Jesus told them, do not let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and they will deceive many. Now, there's a progression here we need to get to. I've already talked about this. I've taught on this before, but this is going to where we're going next. We're definitely going to get through all this tonight. And it says, and they will deceive many. Verse 6, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Now, does this sound like where we're in now?
Yeah.
And does it sound like this is where we've been in the last 100 years, right? Like, it just, why does it seem like we're always in wars? That's a whole other subject. But it just seems like all this junk is going on, isn't it? Every time I read this, I'm like, oh, that's now. Oh, that's today. Oh, this is today. Oh, this is today. And it says, yes, and these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go against war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. Obviously, we've seen record earthquakes, right? Mm-hmm. But all of this is only the first birth pains with more to come. Here's where we're going to get to. Verse 9. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated for all the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. And sin will be rampant everywhere. And the love of many will what? Grow cold. But the one who endures till the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world. So all the nations will hear it. Here we go. And then the end will come. That's why it's important. But I want to stop here. Number one, I want to break this down. First of all, there's going to be people that are going to be misled. There's going to be deception, right? Misled, then there's going to be deception coming, and we're going to see people turn away from the Lord. We're going to see people, they're going to be betrayed and hate each other. Then we're going to see false prophets will appear and deceive people. Then we're going to see sin rampant, and then what is it? Love will grow cold in people. It all starts with wrong thinking, doesn't it? Deception comes along, your thinking is off, and then everything opens a door. It opens a door, it opens a door, it opens a door, it opens a door, it opens a door. And guess what? When you don't love or your heart is callous towards people, anything's possible. Right? I mean, you offended and hurt people. I'm going to just say the Bible talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. Yes. But people who are, it's hard to love other people when you don't feel loved, right? When you don't feel valued. And you know what? One issue is sin is going to reduce you down to, that's why, you know, this Luciferian philosophy in the world where, you know, it's all birthed from a Luciferian philosophy where now we've got evolution, which evolution reduces you to an animal. You're a being. You're not anything. You're not a God-created being. You're not a son or daughter of God. You're not special. You're not created by the Creator. You are a hunk of meat walking around. And someday you're going to kick the bucket. And then, poof, it's none of it's going to matter, right? And then, excuse me. Then after that, there's nothing. And what is also too immorality, it just simply means you don't value the things of God and you don't hold close to his commandments, because everything in the word of God is love. That's why people don't understand when we talk about sin and we talk about these things, you're destroying yourself. You're destroying yourself, and you're not loving what God created. And obviously the ultimate is just not having a love walk. And not placing a value on people, because when we don't place value on people, then what does that say? First of all, God's creation is junk. Second of all, that opens up to sin, doesn't it? I mean, sin, all it is just really not loving yourself or people. I've been around people before where they don't care who they use, what they use, everything. People are just, they're just objects to them. You know, there's no value placed on people. There's no honor. There's nothing. And then, again, people are just kind of thrown to the wayside and they're used. That's a lack of love, right? John chapter 15, verse 1. The flesh wants to take everything from everybody. It doesn't care about anything, right? I got a couple of goofy dogs at home, right? And you throw some food down, and they're not concerned about me. We're eating lunch today, and it was like, I mean, they're like piranhas, you know? And I don't remember what we were eating today. We're just kind of eating snack around today. And all of a sudden, something hit the floor. They're like, whoa, you know? Wish I could see that motivation in some people. It's like, but the point is, it's all mine. And that's the flesh, right? Whoever gets to it first, they don't care about the other animal. We don't care, right? I want whatever hit that floor. It's mine, baby. That's the flesh for you. It doesn't matter. We don't care. It's again, right? Well, they're not meeting my needs, and they're not meeting my needs. Well, no, they're not meeting my needs. They're not meeting my me. I love Brother Hagin so much. You know, I remember he is such a man. I remember listening to him when Adrian and I, we've been at banquets and things with Brother Hagin before he went home with the Lord. And I remember, you know, because it's just funny, you watch things with people. You know, I've listened to Brother Hagin about all of his teachings, and read most of his books, but I remember him saying different things that he would always prefer, or Miss Aretha, which is his wife. And I remember he'd say things like, I never eat everything on my plate because I don't, you know, these little things where he always wanted to keep himself under control. And then I remember just watching Miss Aretha come in. And then I remember we'd be in banquets or things like that, and Brother Hagin be eating and everything, and I'd look over Brother Hagin, and sure enough, he'd have stuff still on his plate, you know? And everything I ever listened to him or read or anything, he did exactly when I was around Brother Hagin at different times, he did exactly what he said on his tapes and his CDs, tapes. I think I got a box of tapes somewhere, but 8-track, baby, yeah. Listen to the Bee Gees. No, but back in the day, but you know, it's so refreshing to see that, because what is he places a value on people, and he purposely does things to keep himself in check. John chapter 15, and in verse 1. We're in some scriptures here, and then are you bored tonight? Am I boring you? John chapter 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. Okay, I like this translation because sometimes King James talks about husbandmen, and you know, that old vernacular doesn't really ring very good. So I kind of like some of these other translations. He cut off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit so that they can produce even more. Now, I want to stop there for a minute. Now, how many of us have things in our life that we don't produce? We just stop here in just a minute, right? Now, what I mean by that is not we're not clipping this off a clip, but what it is we're getting rid of old habits, old behaviors, old thought processes that don't produce fruit in our life, right? You have already been pruned and purified by the message that I've given you. That is so powerful right there. I'm telling you, don't. Remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Who is the source? Jesus. And this is so powerful right here because it says, I love this, that you are already have been pruned and purified by what? The message I've given you. It's his word. How many times have you been in the Bible and you read the word and you just go, ouch? I'm just the only one. Right? Brother Hagin used to say amen or oh me, one of the two. And when we look at the word, you can always tell when people get in the flesh, and I know myself sometimes when I spend more concentrated time on the word and everything, you can tell, you can gauge yourself by how much word you got and how much you've been with him. Mm-hmm. And I just know there are times like, you know, sometimes you're busy, you know, sometimes like you're moving or, you know, you're really busy that day or something and everybody's all, oh, you know, and you feel yourself that blood boiling, you know, for me it's, okay, we're coming over here. I got a confession, all right? So, all right, y'all ready? You're all going to be my priests tonight. You're going to be, I'm sitting in confession, Father, for I have sinned. Okay. So we're coming by, and we got this guy going 40 miles an hour on the way here, and we're late. And so I'm like, I didn't say anything. I'm getting better. Okay, so I was, what are you giving me that look for? I did mention it. But there was no yelling, there was no, get out of the way, or anything, so, you know, what are you doing? Hello? So, anyway, I'm working on it, all right? I'm seeing things, and I choose to, you know, prune myself in that particular area. I choose to clip the vines and move forward, but this is so good, because he said, you've been purified, but what? The message I've given you. If you want to get more focus on things, then get in the Word. Let the Word change you. You know, we can have a resistance, and the great thing is when we're meditating on the Word and we're listening to things, we're meditating on His Word, He changes us. Here's the big mistake too many people make, and here's why we become, I'm just going to say it, why we become, we're viewed by the world as becoming unlovely is because we're trying to get the world to change their behavior without an internal change. And we are become nasty and mean and ugly to people because they can't do it. Right? Now, why would anybody expect you to change before you got born again, right? To walk in love. Now, I will say this. There are some people that, you know, when they're not born again, they have just, you know, sometimes they have a very good nurturing nature. But the point is this. We can't change without him on the inside of us doing an internal change, right? Because 1 Corinthians 5:17 says that we're a new creature. Not because of what we're doing, but because of what? Because of a nature on the inside of us, God is changing and transforming us, and then it manifests on the outside, right? And how does it? Because we're born again and we meditate on the word, Romans 12:1-2. Our job is, you'll see Romans 12:1-2. It doesn't say anything about the spirit, but it says two things we have to do. We got to get our flesh under control and we got to change our thinking. God is the one that regenerates our spirit man when we're born again. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, doesn't it? So again, we're ugly sometimes and we don't walk in that love walk because again, and it is frustrating, but you've got ignorant people who don't understand things, and you know, guess what? Sinners are going to be sinners. They're going to sin. That's what they do, right? That's just what they're going to do. Birds fly, dogs bark. Sinners are just going to sin. And so we can't expect them to change and get mean and ugly and everything with them. They need an encounter with Jesus. And then therefore, you know, people, well, you're just trying to judge me. No, and even Christians will try to justify sin. I've had that before. Well, you're just telling me that. I've had people before tell me things like, well, you're just judging me and everything. No, I'm not. Guess what? If Jesus says it's okay, then it's okay. But you can't find anywhere that Jesus tells you that it's okay to do those things. I'm not telling you you can or can't do things. I'm saying if Jesus doesn't, and I always tell people, if Jesus stood right here and he said, and you told him the actions you're going to do, would he okay those things? Again, I'm not your judge and jury. All I'm here is presenting the word of God. Amen? And, you know, people, well, you're a preacher, you're condemning people. I'm not condemning people. I'm saying go to Jesus, get to know Jesus, understand his word, and then let's come back and reevaluate whether your behaviors are healthy or not and what your convictions are, right? And I was laughing at things because I'm thinking, if we're all Christians and we're all born again and we read this word or anything, we should all come to the same conclusion. Hello? I mean, I'm not reading Huck Finn and going, well, it's about a space alien dude and he came down and then, you know, then the Air Force came and blew up his spaceship. I'm like, what book are you reading? You know? I mean, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. And too many Christians were, I'm thinking, what are you doing? I mean, what are you, because they're not reading the word, right? They're only taking things that they want. So again, it says, verse 5, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm just going to tell you right now, the genesis, the beginning of your love walk is trying to be more like Jesus. That's it. Well, I'm going to try to get my love walk. I'm going to try to walk in faith. I'm going to try to do these things. No, you just need to get connected with him. I'm just telling you right now, right? There's no religious magic wand. La, 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 here, right? There's nothing like that. It's just you got to get connected with Jesus. When you get connected, I just say this, when you get into the word and you get connected with Jesus, it becomes addicting. You want more word, you want more word, you want more of him, you want more of him, right? It's like anything else. I mean, you know, what's the big thing? Binge watching, you know? There are those people, now that you can get online stuff, everybody's into binge watching things. And what's the thing when you watch a show and then at the end and you're like, they're like this going, and you're going, okay, what's going to happen next? What happened? Okay, I saw all 32 episodes. I got to see the 37th episode, right? And that's the same with the word. You read the word, you get down with the book of Luke, you're like, I got to go to the book of Acts. I mean, I don't know where I said, what's happening now? That's your hunger level when you're in the word. It's just like the binge watching shows. You know, you're watching, you're thinking, how many watch The Chosen? You know, those Chosen shows, you know. I mean, we kind of got caught up, we kind of got behind, but there for a while, it was like we were binge watching. It was like, boom, next one. Okay, get the next one going on. Come on, grab the popcorn. Come on, get in here quick. It's starting. Let's go. Come on. Woo, come on, guys. Okay. Okay, I guess I'll put it on pause, you know. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we got all done, and we're like, oh, the next season. And then we got a thing in the middle. Oh, 2 weeks later, we're going to have it. And then we got the next one. We're like, okay, guys, let's get it. But it's the really cool thing was we're watching the Chosen is like right when you're done with that one, you want to go right into the next one, you know. Because when we got like about 3 or 4 weeks lag time waiting for the next one, and we thought when it came, we thought, oh, yeah. But it's just like the Word. Once you get into the Word, got to keep going, got to keep going, got to keep going, got to keep going. What happens is you get transformed by the renewing of your mind. You change through the word. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch that withers. Such branches are gathered and tied into a pile and burned. But if you remain in me, my words remain in you, you'll ask anything, that you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And here we go. This brings great joy to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Here we go. Remain in your love. No, it's his love. Can I tell you something, guys? We don't operate in our love. We operate in his love. It's a big distinction. If you're trying to get along with people and you're trying to, you know, if everything's annoying, you know, all these things in your life, you're not operating in his love. It's not your love. It's his love. It's manifest in you and it comes out, right? That's that, you know, for example, the Holy Spirit, he convicts the world of its sin. And we see these things because, you know, how many of you have ever said things and you're like, your kids or something, and you said it and you're thinking, I shouldn't have said that, right? Everybody's looking. Going this direction. Like, I hope he doesn't see me. I hope she didn't see me. But I'll look over here. I'll talk to the wall here. We'll preach to the wall. La, 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 la. But what's it? It's on the inside. Why? It's the love of God that's shed upon our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Romans chapter 5:5. It's that love that's convicting you. And you know when you've said something wrong or something bad, or you're like, it's a little bit, right? Especially getting the flush and you're tired, right? Because tired parents aren't good parents, right? Especially in the night. End of the night, you're like, go to bed. I'm tired. I'm spent. You know? Can you reach this? Yeah, I have this. That's my job in the house is getting, reaching stuff, you know? Isn't that funny? It's just like, yeah. And it's always the weirdest times, you know? Yeah, yeah. And I'll grab it like this. I'll see, just grab it like this, you know, and I always tease people. But it's just always the most inopportune time. And I'm thinking, I am my love walk. So just those things. But on the inside, I, you know, you get upset and you may say something on the inside, like, that's wrong. That's wrong. Verse 9. I want to finish this part here. Verse 9. And I have loved you, even as Father has loved you. Here we go. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Here we go. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love, I have told you that these things so that you will be what? Filled with what? My joy. It is flesh crucifying to do this stuff sometimes, right? But guess what comes? Joy. I gotta just say this. Walking in love with people is not the benefit for the other person. Often, it's for you. If you don't have joy in your life, you know what? Often, you're probably not so in love with people. And you're not walking in him. And we were just talking about thankfulness. I loved it earlier. That was so good, talking about thankfulness. Here we go. This is my commandment, to love one another, love each other in the same way that I've loved you. There is no greater love than, here we go, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. Here we go. I chose you. Everybody say that out loud. I chose you. God chose you from the foundation of the earth. Before this earth was created, he had a plan for your life. And you are the apple of his eye. And he has passion for every person in this place and every person outside of this place. I appointed you to go produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This I command, love each other. I want to stop here really quick. Number one, the word will deliver you. If you're in better than him and your word, you begin to meditate. It changes your thinking. It begins to change your thinking. Everything in your life is attached to your thinking. Everything. Your confidence, what you do, how you approach people, right? It's all your thinking. Well, they're just not going to like me anyway. I'm just not that pretty. I'm just not that good looking. Blah, 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 blah. Look what's happened to me in the past. Everything's falling apart. Blah, blah, blah. You know. Now, I realize we're in a weird time politically, and I realize this world is really weird. Things are going on. And I know it seems discouraging, it seems like, is there anything good in this world? Are we ever going to see things? But I'm telling you what, that's the same thing the Hebrews felt when they were up against the Red Sea. And I believe that we've seen a lot of things, but I'm seeing things in the spirit realm. And also when I'm praying, also other things I'm hearing, that we are seeing a revival breaking out. People are wanting God like never before. And I also believe that we're going to see some massive change in the world at some point. Because guys, let me just say this right now. The way the world's going, if God doesn't step in, we're all done anyway. I mean, that's just it, right? I mean, God is the one that's going to redeem us and save us. Right? You think we're going to get out and protest and we're going to do these things and we're going to write, I'm going to write my congressman. I'm going to write a really strong letter to my congressman. He's going to listen. No, we're going to have to pray, aren't we? We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to believe God. We're going to have to take action. I'm just saying, I know everything looks dismal right now, but I'm telling you what, I believe God's got a plan. And it's not to forsake us. Things we're seeing now, I've been praying for years and years and years and years and years ago. Love is going to take effort. It's work, isn't it? It is. That means, yeah, guess what? You're going to have to talk to somebody. Be nice to somebody. You're going to have to buy something for somebody. That was hard. A cup of coffee, right? Or something. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joints and marrow. It exposes, here we go, our innermost thoughts and desires." Begin to read the word and you start, ouch. That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay. 1 John 2:9. Close here. If anyone claims I am living in the light, but here we go, hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. But I've read Kenneth Copeland's books and I've read all Brother Hagin's stuff and I'm quoting this and quoting that and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to tell you what, one of the biggest things for disease is in the spirit realm, and I prayed about it, I hear it, and I've read things, is unforgiveness. I'm telling you right now, one of the things, if you experience things in your life, one of the things is going to be unforgiveness. It just means simply not walking in love towards people will open you up to things in your life. It will. I remember one time I prayed for a lady in the hospital. And I was talking with her. And just, I don't know what it was. We were in the hospital, and I was praying, I was just talking to her, and she was telling me things, and all of a sudden, I said, well, I'm going to pray for you, but first I want to know, are you holding any unforgiveness against anybody? Because I just kind of sensed that in my spirit. And so we prayed, said, you know, she forgave some people, I prayed for her, she was on her deathbed. The doctor said, you got 3 days to live. Well, 3 days later, she was walking out of there. And I'm telling you what, you got to examine yourself on the love walk. It's very important. This is the most important. Jesus said, if you love me, love yourself as your neighbor, just like me. He places this on the very top of our love walk, of our walk with him, is the love walk with him, being obedient to him and loving one another. Your health could depend on it. I'm serious. That it is something where, you know, people that have a lot of these diseases and things, your love walks out of whack, right? We can rebuke the devil all day long. We're opening doors up to people. We're opening doors up often because we're just not doing the word. I love this. And then it goes on. It says, anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not, here we go, cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. You know, there's one thing in our household, you'll talk to everybody in our household, is one word we don't use is hate. Oh man, we just don't ever say that word in our house. No. Now we hate sin, right? We hate disobedience. We hate those things, but we don't hate people. Ever say that about people, right? Because of the scripture. If we hate somebody, then we're like a murderer. Other scripture. And that's something we don't even allow in our house. You don't ever say hate in our house. Ever. I don't want to ever hear it. Okay? Even people who are just complete knuckleheads and they're just do dumb things or just evil, whatever. We don't say hate at all in our we just get out of our vocabulary. Don't say hate at all. It's easy to say those words, isn't it? It's easy to be all flippant about our language, isn't it? Well, we hate this and we hate that and we hate this and this is awful and this is terrible. Wait, why are we using hate? The only time God talks about it is that he hates sin. We should never associate hate with a person, ever. You know? And I'll just say this, love is an action. Can't love people by ignoring them, arguing with them, gossiping behind their backs, right? There are things where I'm not invited to come preach and speak at certain things anymore. They don't like me, right? You know what? I'm not going to get all hard feelings about it. They don't like me at all. Right? Whatever, right? I have more time to do other things, right? Because in life, if we can't get an understanding that, you know, not everybody's going to have a parade around you, right? Especially if you're spirit-filled, it's just not going to happen. So you got to get to the point where, you know what, I love them. And there's people that there's some people, person lately, that we went, saw them in the hospital, and, you know, they're just really done us wrong in the past, and we went, we prayed for this person, and you know, and we're the one that went and saw this person in the hospital. We knew years and years ago. Right after we got in praying, 2 days later, they were offended about something with us. What? We prayed for you and left, and have blessed you over the years. And again, you just do what you can. You know, again, your job is to love people. Your job is not make people accept you. You can't force anything on people. You know, I always have the perception that I always want to be there for people. If they want to come back, the door is always open. I'm always open. I always want to connect with people. You know, can I just say this too? I mean, how many of you have grown? Even myself, 10 years ago, I look back and I'm thinking, okay, I maybe wasn't off doctrinally, but I've grown in some areas. Right? You just mature. There's some things you just grow up in, you understand things better, right? And you know, 10 years ago, I mean, I felt like I had a pretty good love walk, but I look at things and I'm thinking, man, I wish things didn't go that way with that person, or I wish, you know, maybe I could have done a little bit better on this end. I'm always the type of person too that I always beat myself up and think, what could I have done better? And I think we need to have that kind of an attitude, right? Where if we're expecting the other person to, you know, do all the lifting for us, that's not love. It's like me going to Dwight and Amy's house. Hey, guys, you're going to make a meal, right? You're going to, you know, do everything for me, right? Yeah? Woo-hoo! Right? Yeah?
Use them for reason.
Exactly, yeah. Because, you know, it makes good stuff. I tell you, yeah, they make it. But anyway, the point is we've all grown, and we don't know what the other person's going through. we don't know what the other person is going through, and the Bible talks about we're not there yet. We'll get there next week. But we need to recognize no man after the flesh, right? That means we're not looking at them carnally and trying to nitpick every little thing about them. That maybe things going on in their life, or maybe they're dealing with depression. Maybe they're, you know, having family issues. Maybe they're discouraged. Maybe whatever it is that they're going through. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Pray for them. That's what we do. You know, we spend time praying for people. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Let's just pray for this person. And, you know, just wasting time and energy gossiping about people. It's not healthy. Amen? Get the word hate out of your vocabulary. We don't hate anybody. You know, because it's God's will that all men come to salvation. Right? God wants to redeem and save every single person on this earth. Every single person is valuable. Right? I'm just glad he didn't forget about me. And we got a job. And you know how we're going to connect with people is really just loving them. I mean, you know, we'll close with this, but years ago, I'm thinking about, maybe I should do that again, but I had guitar lessons, and I would give them opportunities to, I would take them with me. I invited them to church. At that time, I was playing at the church, and I'd have some of them, get up there and play. And then when I went to Rhema, I had a couple of my students that took over for me. So it was a really good opportunity. And I had one guy that he came in, bless his heart. He was, I had a shop at the time and I sung guitar. I had sold guitars and equipment and different things and did service stuff. Well, anyway, he came in. He had a couple of boys that were grown and he'd gone through a bitter divorce, but he came in and he was like foul-mouthed. I think people thought, because I had way longer hair than I do now, but they thought that I was like, you know. Right. And so they thought I was just a heathen. I look like a heathen, even more now than now, but I was a heathen. You know, I look like a total heathen back then still, but I love Jesus. Anyway, this guy came in and he was just so foul-mouthed, and I just, after a while, just so annoying. And but anyway, he's going through a bitter divorce, and he didn't was just really having a lot of problems with his two boys. And anyway, so I thought, you know what, so I invited him to church. We became friends. And, you know, I was able to see through all the stuff. And I think, too, we need to, as Christians, see people for the value that they bring rather than nitpicking about every little thing about them. So, you know, I had a really good chance. Anyway, long story short, he really got good at what he was doing, took over for me when we went to Bible college there. And eventually, you know, married a lady and they were like associate pastors in Texas of Assembly of God Church. The point is, you know, we don't know what we're going to do, the thing that we're going to do to impact somebody that is going to, you know, change their destiny forever. And again, who am I? No, nobody, really. But God can use us just to connect with that right person to pull them in and whatever it is. That's why, you know, it's good to use our gifts and talents. Well, what? Make a way for us, right? I mean, education is good, but you have gifts and talents that you can use to connect with people that, again, you can influence people. But and the Bible talks about he who wins souls is wise. I don't believe it's just we're getting people saved, but what it means is your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. And he or she who wins souls, it means you're winning people over, you're winning them over mentally and emotionally to you. Right? It just means you're being nice to them. And you care about them. This is deep stuff, I know. Oh, boy. Well, these are heavies. Pastor Brandt, boy, you're just bringing the heavy. No, it's just, it's Bible. You know, common sense. Oh, common sense, we can't have that. Whoa. There's a lot of people I know who don't have common sense, right? But it'll be good. Jesus, we thank you so much that you're precious and you're wonderful tonight. I thank you for these wonderful people, Lord. Every person here tonight has value. Lord, we thank you that you're rescuing people tonight from their whatever situation that they're dealing with. Lord, We pray for them also that, again, that they're seeing the light tonight, Lord. But I pray for every person here tonight that is encouraged, that they're loved, that they have value in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord. We give you glory and honor, and we thank you that there's joy for every person in this church tonight, that whatever you've called them to do, the things of their businesses or families, that there's blessed, Lord, that there's wisdom and there's hope tonight. There's hope tonight in the name of Jesus. No matter what the lying tongue of the devil says, tries to beat you down tonight, you're victorious in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you tonight. Lord, we glorify you in the name of Jesus. Amen.